Taylor Watch.
Welcome back to another episode of Taylor Watch. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
Almost the end of the week.
Thank God.
I love Thursday.
I love Thursday too.
Thursday's a good day.
It's Wednesday for us. I have to say it.
I know.
The people know that we're lying. People know we're lying, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow being Thursday because it's just a nice thing. But Thursday for you guys, which is excellent and exciting. Weekend coming up, depending on where you are in the world, it's chilly. We got a cold front.
Freaking cold.
Coming in everywhere.
I know.
Rain, blah, 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 which is annoying, but it does mean it's the perfect excuse to head on over to the liquor store.
Yep.
Get yourself a little dranky drink and make a cocktail at home. And of course, the number one cocktail to be doing that with is Pink Whitney Pink Lemonade flavored vodka.
Yep. We love Pink Whitney so much. You guys know that. They have every size that you need. They got the big boys. They got the 20 shot buckets with 20 nips in them if you want to be the life of the party.
Yes.
They got the medium sized handles. They have everything. It really is the perfect mixer. Alcohol, iced tea, Red Bull, seltzer, whatever you want to put in it is delicious. Pink lemonade flavor. Can't go wrong with that. So take your shot with Pink Whitney.
Perfect. Love Pink Whitney. Love Pink Whitney. Love hockey. In fact, I am going to a hockey game tonight, Gia.
I was curious about why.
Well, can't decide.
Sports girl.
I know. I am a sports girl. Listen, don't clip this. I am going. I was invited by someone.
Ooh.
And so now I'm going.
A special someone?
Someone who may be playing the game.
I know. Okay, Kelly. Okay.
Fucking dying at this.
Oh, my God. I'm like dying for you. Oh, my God. That's so exciting.
I'm crying. I can't say who. I'll tell you who.
No, you can't say it, but oh, my God.
No, I fell into a DM situation. I got a little DM from someone being like, want to come to the game? And I was like, yeah, why not? And then he was like, oh, want to go to dinner first? Like, actually, so we went to dinner last night. And it was lovely. And so I agreed to go to the game. I'm bringing my friend Courtney. And we're going to the game.
OMG.
And I got a text of tickets. It's like hilarious.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Hilarious. For the people out there, I've been to one hockey game in my life. And it was like through Barstool, you know, 7 years ago. Like, I don't even know how long ago.
I'm telling you, from first-hand account, I used to hook up with a kid on the Michigan State hockey team. And when I was going to his games, I literally felt like the coolest girl on earth. So
you may fall
in love with this man.
I might. He's younger than me, like, significantly.
Oh, my. Okay. Oh, my God.
He's literally your age.
This is so exciting. Wait, oh, my God. This is so exciting. I'm freaking out.
By the way, all day I've been like, I was texting people before being like, I don't want anyone to know that we went out. Like, I'm not talking about it. So I haven't talked about it once outside.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been dying to talk about it all
obviously.
Day.
Oh, my God.
I just don't want the boys gossiping, but the girls can gossip. So, yes, I have a hockey date this evening. And we'll see how it goes.
OMG. Wow.
We'll
I'm so excited for you.
But yeah, dinner was good. We had a, we went out to Restoration Hardware, which I love.
And the rooftop?
The rooftop,
nice.
Yeah, which I love. So we went there, lovely night, had a good time, you know, home early.
Good convo?
Great convo.
Wow, okay.
Better than I thought it would be. I honestly was going into dating like, this is going to be,
well, I mean,
what
like,
the fuck
hockey
are we
going
to talk about?
I feel like sometimes hockey guys get a bad rep for being like stupid.
Totally. Totally. Which here's a great reminder that sometimes athletes are nice and cool, Travis Kelce. I previously was very judgmental against athletes.
Right.
Oh, they're all brain dead. I couldn't possibly.
Right. Well, they get hit a lot.
Right, exactly.
But the convo was flowing?
Convo was flowing.
Wow.
Shit was good. Shit was popping off.
That's so,
we'll
so exciting.
We'll see. So yes, I'm going to a hockey game. And so next time you guys see me, I'll be fresh off the hockey game and I'll talk
about
it. But I do feel
fresh
cool.
off your WAG lifestyle.
Fresh off my WAG era. But the whole reason I brought that up, a great excuse by me. Mm. Of course, Pink Whitney, Ryan Whitney, professional.
Yes, hockey player.
Hockey players. Yes. Hockey podcast. Spit and Chicklets. Shout out to them. Thank you for sponsoring the pod.
Your future husband, Biz.
And my other, right, of course.
Yeah.
Right, people are, we're still shipping that.
Just
because I'm going to this hockey game doesn't mean that we're not still shipping me and Biz.
No.
There's nothing, exactly.
Yeah.
No worries there. Yeah. But so what's going on in the world of Taylor? I'm too distracted by my own life.
Well, I mean, that's literally so exciting. Like, I can't even believe it.
No, and like, honestly, you're going
to
die.
No, now I'm dying to know who it is.
It's not the home. Well,
don't.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. You'll die.
Okay.
Just based on like the team.
There's a lot of players. Yeah, we can never know.
You'll die based on the team.
Okay. Oh my
gosh. But yeah, so that's that.
Okay.
The the Taylor front. We have a couple things we need to clear up for Travis.
Yes.
We've got Ed Sheeran singing praises. Yep. We've got happy anniversary to Fearless. Yay! Taylor's version. 4-year anniversary. Fearless came out. I was in Aruba at the time with your sister, actually.
I don't even remember where I was.
It was like a funny, April.
Probably like April so 9th. Depressed in New York.
Probably.
Wait, 4 years ago?
Think about when Fran was in Aruba.
Was that 2021?
Yes.
Shit, I really don't know where I was
because
then.
That was only a couple months after. Were you still in college?
Oh yeah, I was still in college.
Yeah, you were still in school because I had just gotten hired full time. Like
yeah,
January.
I graduated like a month after. Wow, that's crazy. So I was in East Lansing, Michigan.
Wow, so you were living your senior life.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
wait, that's cute.
Fun. So were you listening to Fearless at college?
Definitely.
You had memories?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good, good. I remember we put on. The first song we put on was Mr. Perfectly Fine because it was about Joe Jonas.
Oh, yeah.
And so Fran and I were losing, and Rhea too, was we were losing our shit. And I still think by far the best song on the vault tracks for Fearless. But also, like, you know, nostalgia songs excluded, one of the best songs on the album. Like, I love that song.
100%. It's so.
Lyrically, it's good too.
Yeah. It's so, like, young, like. And petty.
Yeah.
That, like, listening to it at an older age is, like, fun.
Totally,
you know what I mean?
100%. I do think, too, that it could have fit on Speak Now.
1,000%.
You know? It's it kind of has Speak Now vibes.
I was listening to Fearless on the way to work today, and I was listening to That's When. That's kind of an underrated Vault song.
Underrated song, yes.
It's really good. It's
I totally
cute.
Agree.
And Keith Urban is cute on it.
Keith Urban is cute, period.
I saw
Keith
a funny tweet about him that was, like, people say, like, Tim McGraw is... like Taylor's country dad, but it's Keith Urban. That's like this dad that stepped up.
That is so true. Yeah. So real. So real. But yeah, so that's fun. That's exciting.
Oh, and we're going to do a little White Lotus talk.
Oh, we're going to do a little. Yes. Thank you. We're going to do a little White Lotus talk. And then, of course, voicemails, DMs, rapid fire questions, et cetera, at the end of the episode, our fave part. So but wait, in celebration of the Fearless 4-year Taylor's version anniversary, they have released the Fearless cardigan.
Yes.
Did you get it? Let us know if you got it.
Yeah, let us know if you got it. I did get it, obviously.
Go girl.
I just feel like at this point.
Well, you're collecting them now.
Yes.
Now it's a thing. Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I have all of them.
Yeah, do you?
I think. There's no Evermore, there's no Debut, and there's no Reputation.
Right. And you have OG Folklore, right?
I have the OG Folklore.
Yeah, yeah.
I have Now Fearless, Speak Now, Taylor's Version, Tortured Poets.
Mm-hmm. You have Midnights.
Midnights, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't have the Red. I don't have Red.
Did
that's
they
the one
have
I missed.
Red?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I didn't.
I don't have Red.
What color was it?
I think it's red.
Red as fuck? Like, super red?
Let me see if I can...
Wait, look at that girl, that thing I sent you of the girl with the shelf. Where she's like, it's a bad time to have your shelf look like this, and it's like a shelf of all...
Oh, yeah, like stuffed up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like white with red stars. It's kind of looks like the Folklore one.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then do you have the Lover one? Is what you do have the Lover one?
I
too,
do have
right?
the Lover one. Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just missing Red. Actually, maybe I should just buy. Oh my God, they're so expensive. Why are they $200 on fucking
of
Depop?
Of course, no shock there.
That's crazy.
No surprise whatsoever. Wow, I love that the cardigans are on Depop. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's so funny.
That's so hilarious.
Yeah, like don't you want like? Why would you not want to keep that? But yeah, so I guess I'm just missing Red.
That's the people. Well, that's how people can't get them, you know. But
right.
Same way as the tickets, people come through
and they just resell them
for make a buck.
I just couldn't. I just could never imagine dropping that much money on a cardigan.
No, it'd be so crazy. But, unless you're like a true collector.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, you're like really wanting that. But yeah, it's exciting. The new cardigan is like a darker tan with
It's kind of like a poop.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like. It's very fall.
Yeah.
All the cardigans are feel fally to me.
It's really like cute, I think. I liked
think
it a lot.
I actually think it's
really
cute, too.
Yeah. And I like the stars all over it.
Gold stars or
black.
Brown? Black.
Yeah.
So, love that. Fun.
Yeah,
cute,
I like the common theme of, like, the stars on them.
Better than, like, bright yellow.
Oh, my God. No, it would be bad. Yeah, no. This is, like, it's, like, it's very fall-esque, but it's cute.
Yeah.
I think, hopefully, it looks like it's going to be the same type of material as the folklore one.
Yeah.
But like, you never know. Like, I feel like every time there's a new cardigan, it's a different.
They're always
texture.
Different. I know.
Feeling like the Speak Now one is so different than the folklore one. The Speak Now one, I can barely wear. It's itchy as fuck.
Well, that's like the 1989 one. I won't buy them anymore because the
1989. Oh, I don't have 1989 either.
Oh shit. Yeah. No, mine, because it literally is falling apart. Like the arms are. It's like unraveling itself. Like,
really?
I can barely wear it. Yeah. Mm. I'm gonna have to like knit it back together. It's like one of those, you know.
And right.
I just haven't had the time, but it is cute. It's got seagulls. But regardless, I think that very nice of Taylor Nation to do a little something for the Fearless TV fans. And I like this tradition of collecting the cardigans. I know everybody wants to get on everybody's ass about, like, you know, consumerism, whatever. I think it's fun. I think the cardigan thing is fun.
Yeah, I think it's very
fun. It's like an inside. It's very, like, inside. You know, if you have the cardigans, you know. Like,
yeah,
it's
and, just like, that seeing somebody out in the wild wearing the cardigan, you're like, ooh, that you're girl. Like, oh, is
that's
a fan.
That's a real fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So love that. Love that.
Well, happy birthday to Fearless.
Major happy. Happy.
My little baby. Mm-hmm. I love that album so much.
Oh, yeah. What did you say your fave song was?
The Other Side of the Door.
That's right. Yeah. And I said Forever and Always.
So good.
Love. Great songs. Great songs. Great album. Interesting time in her life, I'm sure. Oh, you know, we had the how old was she conversation the other day. Weren't we having that conversation of like,
oh yeah,
15?
When she
was
got
she
signed
16?
Yeah, we were right. It was 15. Yeah.
Oh, that's right, it was the quiz.
That's right. I was also thinking to myself listening to Fearless on the way here, like I think I was listening to I think it was like Come In With the Rain or something. I was having this funny like imagery in my mind of her like re-recording this song and then at the end being like, I can't believe I fucking wrote that song. Like, right? I wrote this album.
Yeah, like
this
damn,
album,
that was good.
Yeah, like this shit hits
I
hard.
Hope I hope she's self-congratulatory when she does these Taylor version
albums. Like, how could
albums?
You not re-record them and be like, this song is so fucking
good. Yeah, be
good.
Like, bang.
Yeah, like,
wow.
I killed it. And I was 16 years old or
exactly.
Whatever, 17.
Re-recording Love Story specifically, I bet. Like, that song goes like,
yeah,
you know?
Like,
what a song.
Crazy.
It's good shit. Love it. Love her. Love her being fearless.
Yes.
And and happy birthday. Love that.
Yeah, love you.
Something that we need to clear up that we discussed last time on the pod. We had a long conversation about how Travis Kelce is very charitable and had purchased a $3+ million house to turn into like a housing / like, you know,
yeah, like a
home
for
boys,
yeah, yeah,
you know, athletics or whatever. Turns out false, not true. And he addressed it on New Heights saying that he does do a lot of charity work with the kids and in town and the community or
he
whatever.
He was like, if you
but
see anything,
not one of them.
It will be on 87 Running.
Yes.
Like, it won't be really anywhere else.
Yes.
Which is his charity, 87 Running.
Yeah.
We got got.
And but listen, not just us, even Pat McAfee got. Mm. And he referenced Pat McAfee because I guess he brought it to, like, he found out about it through Pat McAfee talking about it or something. Like, that's why in the clip that I saw, he references Pat McAfee being like, well, he's always looking out for the boys. He must have asked, hey, is this true or something?
Okay.
You know?
Right.
So
I wish we could do that.
I know, right? I always am wishing that.
Hey, King.
Yeah,
is this
hey,
true?
King. Is this for real?
I mean, it there could be worse rumors.
You know? But also, how about him stepping up and being like, no, like, I am charitable, but I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a, you know,
I appreciate
that's a good guy.
That.
Yeah. It's a good guy, not just
he's not going to
take credit or whatever
for something that he just
and, like,
didn't
going
do.
Going out of his way to make a statement about it instead of just like ignoring it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Love that. You know, though, who is doing something? I don't know if I wouldn't necessarily put it in the category of charity, but with the kids. I said this to you on TikTok in the middle of the night one day, the other day. It is Cam's brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I really wanted to talk about this.
Yes. So Cam's brother.
Kaelin. It's spelled K-H-A-L-E-N, but I always forget how to
Kaelin
pronounce it.
Kaelin. Because, you know, we've got DJ Khalid, and so it's hard to. Anyway, Cam's brother is starting up a football camp for LGBT. It's pro LGBTQ plus youth football camp.
Yep.
And I love that. I love that
love,
so much.
Wait, love
what did
it
he
so
say
much.
Exactly. Let me read that thing. He said, hold on, I gotta look at my things to where I sent you.
Kaelin, not Kaelin. Okay, it's Kaelin. Yeah, okay.
Yes, it's NFL star Kaelin Saunders launches LGBTQ+ friendly youth football camp. Football is for everybody.
Yeah.
And I love that. And the comments are actually great here. You know, Cam obviously being like my favorite boy. Someone else saying real strong men protect and support the vulnerable in our human society. Love it. As a gay man that turned down D1 college offers because I didn't think I could be myself proudly. Aww. I'm overjoyed to see this for the next generation. This is what positive masculinity is. Yeah. I just love. I think that that's wonderful. He's on. He was on. Oh, let's see. There's more actually to this. It says the New Orleans Saints player announced at the GLAAD Media Awards that he'll be welcoming the LGBT youth to his football camp later in the year. They said it feels as though there's not really a space for the community in the very male dominant and heterosexual dominant sport.
Yeah.
Being an ally is more than just saying I support, but it's also showing up.
That's so great.
Let's see.
That's
it came after he went to the Pride football clinic. I was able to go out there and get to talk to some of the people participating in it, and man, they were great conversations.
That's great.
Love.
That's honestly a brave thing to do as a football player.
Totally.
Because I just feel like football, American football. I mean, look at the way that people reacted when Taylor Swift got involved with American football.
I know.
God forbid, like, gay people, you know, bi people, trans people get involved with football. It's like people are so up in arms.
I mean, you can count the name. I mean, I only know one gay, openly gay, Michael Sam, right? He's the only, who? There's one guy that anybody has ever talked about that's gay, and that's all they ever talk about. They always mention it, or they did when he was playing. I don't know his life right now, but that was it. It was like you couldn't fucking believe it, or you couldn't whatever.
It's really sad, like the stigma that's still so there in in football. Like even
Absolutely.
Just like, and this is so great because you know you got to start them young
for sure.
You know?
And I'm sure all sports, by the way, like this is the first time I'm seeing. I mean, maybe other, you know, other sports have done this, but like across the board.
Yeah. No.
We ever seen like a pro? Like a welcoming community in sports that's not so like heterosexual dominant, like they're saying.
Totally.
Yeah.
I feel like it is interesting because like women's sports, I feel like there's such a huge gay culture in women's sports.
Definitely. Yeah.
But it's so frowned upon in men's sports. It just doesn't make, I mean, I don't know if it's just like the fragile masculinity of
definitely,
it all.
Definitely.
But yeah, like, you know, hate is learned. It's not born into you. So putting these kids through this camp at an early age is such a great way for, you know, kids to just realize that, you know, we all just want to play a fucking sport.
Absolutely.
We all just want to play together. We don't care if you make out dudes or girls or
it
whoever.
It doesn't matter. Like, we're playing football right now.
Yeah.
Are we doing that while we play football?
Yeah,
no.
Like, make
a
fucking
a fuck.
Tackle. Let's go.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And he was, Colin was, you know, fighting the good fight on Twitter, like, all week.
Of course.
Replying to people. He said, like, oh, let's not forget these hands rated E for everyone. Don't let this ally shit fool you. If you got a problem with what I'm doing, then come beat my ass about it.
Let's go.
Actually, would be some fun cardio with me. You'll never win fighting with hate against someone fighting with love.
Obsessed with that. Yes.
Yeah. I know. Like now I kind of want a jersey of his, like a Saunders Saints jersey would be sick. But
that would be sick.
It's a really awesome thing for him to do, and like also his brother Cam is gay, so like it's just like such a supportive thing to do.
It's so kind, and imagine like your brother is so supportive of you that he's willing to stick his neck out essentially for something that is important to you and your life. You know,
he's like fighting with Antonio Brown on Twitter.
Oh my god!
Because of course Antonio Brown like said like
he's a scumbag.
Yeah,
no one's worse than him.
He's literally the biggest scumbag.
Yeah,
but yeah, he said like and like people are like responding being like. Oh, he just said, like, I said I support all orientations because that's what genuine people do.
Duh.
That doesn't mean there should be, like, all, like, I can still support a community out of genuine love and care. Like, we're not pushing anything on anyone.
Yeah.
It's just great.
It's just great. Yeah. And I just think, everybody could take a lesson. What a great thing to do.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And I hope it works out for him. I hope the camp thrives. And
me
I
too.
Hope these kids feel safe and,
same.
Yeah, are able to have fun.
Same.
Let the kids have fun.
Let the kids also get good. Like, let's make sure we've got A+ football players coming through. Now that we're on the football bandwagon,
yeah.
I want to see good players on these teams.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't count the gays out, okay?
No, do not count the gays out.
Never, never. They'll beat never. Your ass. They'll beat your ass. So good, good. Love mm-hmm. that. Flowers, flowers all around.
Yeah,
everybody's,
shout out.
Everybody's being lovely. Love, love, love. Speaking of those being lovely, Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
Ed Sheeran went on Call Her Daddy. I have yet to watch the whole interview, but I will because I love Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, you're a big Ed Sheeran stan.
Big Ed Sheeran yeah. stan. But of course, Ed can't do an interview anywhere without being asked about Taylor.
Yep.
And Alex, I only saw the clip, but she said, I'm a big Swiftie. I know you're friends with Taylor. What's the most memorable, like, happy moment you guys have?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they don't get to see each other much now, like, as adults. They see each other like 4 times yeah. a year or so, but when they do, it's like a long, you know, like a 6-hour chat at dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
But that his favorite time with her was when he was on the Red Tour with her, living in Nashville for about 6 months, and they would travel to all of the gigs together, and that he saw her every day, and they just had so much fun in that time, and we're such good friends, and just it was like a fun time in his life. So he yeah. says any time in that time were his favorite memories with Taylor.
That must be so fun. And, like, so cool fun. To be able to travel with her, like, to all the shows.
And they're, like, similar age. They're good friends. Yeah. Like, it's just, yeah.
And both, like,
that's so cool.
Great at their jobs. Right. You know, great so at talented. Songwriting.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
He said, I lived in Nashville and she lived in Nashville and we used to fly to and from the gigs together and do all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I literally spent almost every single day with her for 6 months. He also said, like, he got to, like, look back at his early days, like, collaborating with her.
Oh, yes, yes. He's been talking about that because his new, whatever's coming, I guess he's got an album coming out or song, or I don't know exactly what he's, like, doing press for, but he's been saying that. Like, he's been saying, like, I know why. He keeps bringing up the story because he was going through that court yeah. case for the last few years. What's the song?
Thinking Marvin Out Gaye, Loud.
Right? Yeah, right. Yeah. So Marvin Gaye, what's the song? Let's Get It On,
yeah.
I think, is they're trying to claim that Thinking Out Loud is like a ripoff or whatever. Took him to court, Marvin Gaye's estate, whole thing. It's been like honestly a mess for Ed Sheeran for a couple of years. But he references, it's all said and done. It's over now. Ed won the case.
Ed won, yeah.
And so it's all fine. But he references it and he said that while he was going through that court situation, he had to go into like old phones and because he doesn't have a phone, do you know
yeah.
that? He only emails people.
Yeah.
He like doesn't he doesn't text.
Yeah, he said he hasn't had a phone since 2015.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I was in these court cases for like 2 years. Well, I mean, a lot longer than 2 years,
mm-hmm.
but there was one each year and I had to go through all my old devices to give them, like, you know, voice notes and blah, blah, blah for the lawyers to have, he shared, going through all my old texts with people that I've known for that long. It was really like nostalgic.
Yes. Yeah.
And he said he hasn't used a cell phone since 2015. In the lawsuit,
crazy.
They order you to give up all your devices. So I handed everything in, but I haven't used a phone. I moved to a tablet in 2015 just on email. So I switched off my phone in 2015 and left it in a box.
I think that's hilarious
that's
and awesome.
So crazy. Like, he said, I switched it on and it was like going into a time machine. Like the first text was my friend that had passed away the year before.
Yeah.
The second text was an argument with an ex-girlfriend. The third text was a family member I haven't spoken to in 10 years. The fourth text was another mate that died.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
He's told this story a couple times now. I think just in reference to this, like, going, you know, diving
yeah.
back into his life. I think on one of the, like, late night talk shows, he brought it up, but he said that he didn't really love it. He didn't, like, wanted to.
I mean, I can't imagine.
Wish I could just kind of keep that in the past.
Yeah.
Like, I think he said something along the lines of, like, some things are better kept, like, in the
Well,
in the
yeah.
past.
I mean, like, I feel like that kind of leaves you with almost, like, a guilty conscience.
For sure.
Especially with, like, those friends that pass away, you know, you're like, yeah. oh, man, like, I never answered this text, like,
right, right.
what could have changed if I did, you know, stuff
yeah,
like
sure,
that.
Yeah, sure, something,
yeah,
right,
like,
something
you know, and
lines.
You can't help but, like, think that kind of way, you know?
Right.
I feel like that would be really tough more than it would be,
even
like,
if they were not, like,
fun.
I didn't necessarily take that to mean that there were, like, unread texts, more so, like, texts that were still on the phone from that time.
Okay.
That's more how I interpreted it, but I still think that makes sense. Like,
right,
when you
right.
look back and you're like, with fresh eyes 10 years later,
yeah.
you're like, wow, if I had responded in a different way, like maybe we'd still be friends or
yeah,
we'd still
yeah.
be together or something would be, you know, different.
Crazy.
But yeah, he said going back, it puts you right back in that place that you were in. Like,
yeah.
Reading messages like that. I am so bad at that. Like if I go, I never want to see an old phone.
No.
Because it will fuck me up.
No.
Like, I never want to. Like, if I am done with the phone, I have all of them, but I don't look at them, and
no,
I don't want to.
I went through, like, such a dark spiral once where,
yeah.
like, I, like, retrieved like old texts on like my laptop.
No.
And I just was reading through them like all night, and like I was like really on the brink.
It's so bad.
It's
like,
so
you
bad.
Can really, because really you're just harm like yourself.
It's like
that.
Yeah. It's like it's like masochistic, like almost.
For sure.
You know,
well,
like you're
like,
doing
like,
it to hurt
it's like
yourself.
Emotional cutting.
Literally,
know?
Yeah.
Like, it really is. Like you can just, and you just really beat yourself up about yeah. it, or like just sit in that sadness that you feel from maybe that maybe you're having an art, maybe you're reading. Most times, I'd go back and like read arguments that I'd have
right.
with like an ex-boyfriend, or like read him dumping me, or like whatever, yeah, like yeah. to really like feel bad for yourself.
Yeah.
But it's toxic. It's not good for you. But Ed Sheeran made it through. He's got a couple songs.
So is he coming out with a new album?
He has a new song that just came out.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Azizem.
Have you listened to Miley's new songs?
Not a stitch.
Mm.
And I have to. Because
you should.
I love Miley.
They're both pretty good. Something Beautiful and
Azizem
End of the World
is the latest single.
Oh yeah.
And it's just a new single. I'm not sure if he's coming out with an album soon or what. Something that people, I think, don't listen to enough, Ed Sheeran-wise, is his Autumn Variations album that came out in 2023.
Yeah.
And it's all kind of like, I don't know, it's like, it's a little bit, it reminds me of the Deluxe album, which is, of course, one of my favorite albums of all time. But it's not as good.
Okay.
So.
I always so was yeah. a, what was his like OG, Multiply? Was that his first one? Subtract?
Yeah,
or?
Multiply.
Multiply, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or no, Subtract might have been first. Let me see.
I don't remember, but I was like obsessed with him during that time. Like when he opened for One Direction. Or did he open? Yeah, he opened for One Direction.
Plus was his first
album.
Plus, and then.
Plus is like 18 and like You Need Me, I Don't Need You. You Need Me, Man, I Don't Need You.
Yes.
Yeah. Or maybe that's on a different album.
You Need Me, I Don't Need You.
Yeah.
And the A Team is, those are the big ones. And Kiss Me, those are the big ones.
Oh, yeah.
Plus.
Kiss Me.
And then, yeah, and then he's got Multiply and then Divide. But he doesn't like, is it called Multiply?
Yeah, it is. I'm
okay,
pretty
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he also has one called Five. It's just the number five.
Huh.
But it's like a collection of, I don't know, I got to get out of Ed Sheeran. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what's going on with Ed. And I'll definitely go back. And when I watch the whole thing, if anything else interesting comes up, we'll bring it up.
He also said he would never do the Super Bowl, which was funny.
Oh, I cracked up at that. And I love that self-awareness.
Yeah.
He's like, they don't want, he's like, well,
like
I'm going
to
go up and do
perfect.
Right, I'm going to do the A-Team and perfect. Yeah. And then what? Like, nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I would love to see that. But I agree that the Super Bowl isn't
the place. Yes, it's not the place
you gotta
for
have
that.
Pop hits and hip hop and
yeah, unfortunately,
all
the drama you want to be twerking, not crying.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, power to Ed. Happy for him. Love him to death.
Love him
as always. Gia, I know I've been talking a lot about how I'm going to an event tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to a sporting event, and
well, if you can't get invited by a player,
exactly,
what's another way you can go?
What's another way you can go? And that, of course, is game time. Mm. What time is it? Game time.
Game
always
time.
Here for us. Game time. Of course, we've talked about them nonstop over the last couple of years. They helped us out a ton while the Eras Tour was going on because we were able to head to Miami on their dime. We love Game Time for that. But don't forget that not only can you get tickets to concerts and sporting events, but think about plays. Think about offshoot events. Always look at Game Time for things happening in your area for the best prices and the best seats at different events that you want to go to.
Yep. They don't make it easy to buy concert tickets these days. You got to sign up for the pre-sale, get in the queue, and by the time you get through, the best seats are gone. Going to a concert or a show or anything should be about the show itself, not waiting in a virtual line. And lucky for us, we always use Game Time, the official ticketing partner of Barstool Sports. Plus, on April 22nd for Earth Day, when you select and purchase a super deal, Game Time will plant a tree with the proceeds, which is amazing.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Oh my God, you guys, download Game Time.
So I have really been into baseball, and I went to opening day. I fucking love going to baseball games. So
I've
been looking at Yankees games.
I would love to go to a Yankees game.
Love.
Let's go to a Yankees game.
Let's go to a Yankees game.
Let's get a crew.
Okay.
Let's
do it. I'm seeing tickets for $5, $10, $31. Yep. All here, right on the app. So many different seats. So many. $50, $42. Great seats all over the place.
Oh, damn. Okay.
For the Giants versus Yankees game this weekend. So exciting.
Fun.
So what are you waiting for? We are going to buy these Yankees tickets now and take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code TWATCH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code TWATCH for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. What time is it?
Game Time. White Lotus.
White Lotus.
What a finale.
So much discourse about it.
So much discourse. Yeah. A lot of conversations about it. For those, well, I mean, at this point, if you haven't watched, spoiler, you know, we're going to probably be talking about it for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's break it down like this. Season as a whole.
I liked.
It was good.
Yes. Right? I enjoyed it. Yeah. I didn't like it as much as season two.
Season two is a really high bar.
Yeah.
And it still is my favorite, season two. Yeah. But yes.
But super high bar. I think it was up there for sure. And I think it was really good mm-hmm. as a whole. Mm-hmm. But the finale mm-hmm. threw me off.
What is it that... Explain your thoughts. And then I'll explain my
thoughts. I'm conflicted on like my thought process behind it because I do understand Mike White's whole purpose of the show. You know, it's not mm-hmm. about like direct consequences from actions. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, it's more about like subtleties and real life and how yeah. things would actually play out and, you know, like facial expressions and reading people.
Mm-hmm. Character building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's a character guy, yes. First and foremost, for sure.
So I totally get that point, but I just feel like with season two, like there was these big like climactic moments that were like, okay, like this is kind of the payoff
right.
for all of these little subtlety moments, all this like small building, all these like things where you think something's going to happen, but then it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Where I feel like as in the end with season three, you don't get like any of that payout. Like there was really nothing payoff. Should I say like there was really nothing with the ending that I was like, okay, like I'm satisfied with this or like I wasn't expecting this or like, mm-hmm. whoa, this was a crazy moment. It was all kind of just like yeah. a little bit of roll in my eyes.
It felt flat for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
were moments where I was like, oh my God, like with Lachlan getting poisoned. I was like, oh, yeah. fuck. Like, he's about to die. Like, this is crazy.
That was definitely the biggest yes. shock I yes, had for while sure. watching. I think I see your perspective. I feel differently about it because I think I go into the White Lotus just, I very much go to enjoy the characters. And I've rewatched seasons one and two like the minute before season three started. So I felt really engrossed in the world.
Yeah.
And it just felt, it felt like, oh, we're picking up right where we left off in the same kind of vibe, whatever. And I didn't notice any kind of vibe shift or whatever. And I was really enjoying it. And I also think that lately I get caught up online in the discourse and it affects how I feel about
yeah,
things.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I've just tried to like, I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I'm liking it. So that means I liked it.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
I trust myself these days. Yeah. But at the same time, I think that that what you're saying is interesting, and I have a question in response to it, is in the finale, I do think that it tied up every loose end in one way or another, whether you liked it or not. And I think that there were also a lot of, there was so much time / so many people I feel were vocal about the show this time around online that every theory, like fan theory of what could happen, what might happen, this, that, whatever, it was like there was a trillion theories and most of them happened. And I think that is kind of where people are like, oh, anticlimactic because everybody guessed this was going to happen. But I feel like everyone guessed a billion things. And it's like, if you're going to guess a billion things, like some things are going to be right.
Yeah, that's true.
But But I think that the like what Mike White said. So I'm obsessed with Mike White.
Yeah, right? I like him too.
I think he's so funny.
He's really funny.
He's so honest.
Yeah.
And he doesn't give a fuck what anybody thinks, which I love. But he said something that I thought was funny, being like, the whole point of the show is for me to be like edging you.
Yes.
And if you don't like me edging you, then get out of my bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, thank you. Like, that's funny. And I think that like, you know, whatever. But it was very theatrical. But wait, so my question now is everything that happened in the finale, right?
Yeah.
If a few of those things had happened in like the penultimate episode or an episode before, would you still have felt that way? Or did you feel like they crammed it all into the one episode and now, and it kind of,
yes,
you almost didn't have time to process everything because it was happening all at
that's
once.
Kind of, yeah, I think that's how I felt. I felt it all just was a little cramped. It felt a little like, I don't know. I don't want to say it felt rushed to me because like, obviously so much was playing out through each episode.
Mm-hmm. And the finale was an hour and a half, about an hour and a half. Yeah.
But I just, And, like, you're so right about the theories thing. Like, everyone, it's hard to, like, not have people be right. But, like, with the whole dad being, like, the guy, old guy being the dad, like, I just couldn't help but roll my eyes so hard at her being like, this is your father. I was like, oh, my God.
That was kind of like, of course he is.
Like, really?
Like,
and then, like, what was the whole, I just.
Well, with that, it's like, that rounds it out. If you break down each group individually, I think individually they all have like incredible arcs.
Yes.
If you really think about it. So with that, with it being Rick's father, I think that was like an extra knife twist, because the whole time
he was like conflicted.
No, not even conflicted. The whole time he's like, this guy killed my dad. He ruined my life. And I need to do something about it. Mm. When in reality, he himself killed his own dad and ruined his own life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's all like, well, really, it's like you did this.
Yeah.
Like you've been chasing yourself for your whole life. And like that's, and maybe if he had that conversation with that therapist woman at the thing 5 minutes before, nothing would have happened. But he self-sabotaged his own life.
Yeah.
He did it like that while he was alive the entire time. And then at the end of his life, he did the same thing. And not only did he kill his father, he
got his girlfriend killed.
His girlfriend got killed.
Yeah.
And I think
which was another thing where I was like, okay, I saw that coming too.
Well, you know when I saw that coming? Is when she posted, so that Hollywood Reporter article, which is so good, by the way. There's a very, very long article about The White Lotus that has different perspectives from the cast. It's the whole cast, has conversations in it, and Mike White included. It's so long, Hollywood Reporter, but they did a huge photo shoot for it.
Yeah.
And Amy Lou Wood has a photo of her laying on the ground, like kind of stiff, looking like a dead body.
Yeah.
And it came out like a week before the finale, and I was like, that looks like she's a dead body.
Oh.
And then literally when they showed her dead on the ground with the bullet wound in her chest,
it's
I was
the
like,
same.
That's the same pose. Oh. Like she did it. So I would have been surprised if not for that. But also too with Chelsea, like they kept, you know, the rules of threes.
They foreshadowed her death a lot.
They really did.
Yeah.
So I wasn't so shocked. The Lachlan thing shocked me.
Yeah.
And I also really thought like the pina colada scene, like finally I was like, let's give Lucius a job. You know what I mean? Like I loved, like my only complaint really with Jason Isaacs was that he wasn't doing enough.
Yeah, he was wasted, I feel
he
like.
He was wasted.
Yeah.
But then at the end, that like those few final things that he did, I thought not made up for it, but certainly helped.
Yeah.
You know?
And that was also a big thing. Like the ending with like I just felt, I thought that their story, like the Radcliffe family ending was so unsatisfactory. And like, I get it because like, that's kind of like what happens in real life. Like, you know,
people have,
I want to see Piper or not Piper. I want to see the mom like freaking the fuck out.
For sure.
Like,
I think that definitely a lot of the things that we're left with, well, you know, you're always left wanting more in White Lotus.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like season two, same thing. I wanted to know, did Ethan and Harper, you know, Aubrey Plaza and her husband, did they stay together?
Right.
Did Megan Fahey, like, did they ever find out that they all hooked up with each other?
Right.
Like, what's all, you know what I mean? Like, I have certainly been wanting more at the end of the first two seasons, but this is the first time that I really am like, damn, I wish I knew what was happening with the Ratliffs. But I will say that I think it was clever that we spend the whole season hating this family, and then in the last episode, finally they start showing shreds of humanity and like being there for each other. And, you know, Tim doesn't kill his whole family. Lachlan is, you know, he's come to the realization that he's just a people pleaser and he wants in a family full of narcissists. Piper realizes that she's a spoiled brat.
Yep.
She has to accept it. And Saxon's willing to step outside of his own comfort zone. And I think that's like, again, a huge arc.
Mm.
But then them all getting on the boat and like, you know, us not seeing them react to finding out whatever. I think that it almost
they just built it up so much.
But I feel like I like that we don't see them falling apart because we were built up to appreciate them. And so in my head, I can think like, oh, they're a family that's going to be okay.
Hmm.
And if we were to see them freak out about it, we would hate them again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would definitely have like horrible reactions. And I kind of like that we're left liking and rooting for these like horrible people. Like I kind of like when we get a switcheroo like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I
it's just a little different. You know who I have no qualms whatsoever, top to bottom?
The three friends.
The three
friends.
Yeah.
They were the saving grace for me for the finale for sure. Carrie Coon's like monologue at the end was phenomenal.
Cried. I watched it again. I watched the episode twice. Cried both times.
It's such a
so real.
Really props to Mike White because like it's very hard to capture like the complex dynamics of female friendships.
Absolutely.
Like that, like, you know, and throughout each episode you see so much of how their dynamic is without even seeing so much action between
the
them.
The subtleties yes, are perfect. Yes. Like they really have them nailed. So in that big article, they talk a little bit about it. Mike White, like, you know, because he's done reality TV and he's like produced it and whatever. So his specialty, and I think it shines through in all of his character development, is people. So he, you know, no, he's not a woman, but yeah. he's seen those kind of relationships. And they also, in this article, talked about how collaborative everyone's roles were with him. Like he would meet with everyone and they would discuss at length how their character would act and talk and be. So like he had the help of Carrie Coon and Michelle Moynihan and Leslie Bibb to really create these friendships. And the way that it was presented, I think, is just, it's so real. Like it's so accurate. Like if you are, you know, if you're a girl with a couple of friends and you go on girls trips, like that's always how it goes.
Yes, totally.
And, you know, you're not always talking shit or you're not always whatever. But by the end of a trip like that, if the dynamics are a little weird.
It's also hard like not to compare yourself to your friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. And so do my friends. You know what I'm saying? Everyone does that. It's like human nature to compare and make sure what's going on. But Carrie Coon's monologue, I think, was both so sad and so like sweet.
Yeah.
That I don't know how to feel about it. Like I identify with it for sure.
Yeah.
I also was like, you're being so hard on yourself. Yeah. Like, you know, and kind of in my head, but the way it was delivered and then the, you know, ending message of just like, I'm happy to be at the table with my two friends. And it means something that we've been friends for so long. I thought really, it was so touching.
Yeah.
I just thought like, it's exactly how those conversations always go.
Yeah,
you know
totally.
I mean? Like the long convo, like drunk convo at the last dinner the night before you leave. Like I feel like it just always
and
works
I also,
out that way.
I think that was also like a big like moment of realization for her too, because like, you know, they talked about like how she like, you're like, oh, you're so you're always just like disappointed with everything.
Yes.
And then like at the end, you know, she kind of like, but I think honestly that reflected more on them too. Than it did on her.
I agree, actually, because if I'm thinking about it.
Like, they're more, like, deflecting their issues onto her,
for
almost.
Sure. I think of it as, like, you know, Jacqueline and Kate were just, like, they weren't thinking of it as deeply as, what's her name in the show?
Lori
was. Yeah. Like, I think Lori came in being like, this is a bonding experience with me and my friends.
Yeah.
And those two girls were kind of like, well, we're just on vacation because our lives are great. We're not looking for anything.
Yeah.
We're just looking for a good time. Meanwhile, I think Lori, Carrie Coon, was looking for that bond. And then once she sees the fractures and she sees like, oh, they're getting along without me.
Yeah.
She gets sensitive. And I think that happened a couple of times. But at the same time, like she had her own moments with both of them.
Yeah.
So I think that it's just all how you look at it. And I definitely identify with
a lot of the
feelings she was having, the things she was saying. And it's just, you know, it was beautifully put. I have to recommend if people, and I didn't realize, I thought everyone on earth watched The Leftovers. I didn't realize that people did not. HBO, another fantastic show. It came out in like 2017, 18. And there's only 3 seasons. It got canceled, but The Leftovers has Carrie Coon, Justin Theroux, Margaret Qualley's in it. Honestly, star-studded cast.
Yeah.
Really good. It's all about how, I think it's like 1% of the population disappears overnight. It's a very much like Thanos
okay,
snap, but like without superheroes,
right.
You know? And how the world reacts to it. And it's like,
interesting.
You know, like cults get on the rise.
Right.
There's like a weird religious thing behind it. Like they don't know what happened. They like start thinking it's a rapture, you know?
Right.
What I mean? So it's this big deal. But Carrie Coon is in it and she like loses her whole family or something crazy. And so, but she's a very, it's like a very serious character and she's excellent.
That's funny because
she's
an
incredible actress.
Avengers Infinity War.
I know, yeah. I know. Which I watched this weekend. My brother my brother was here this weekend, his birthday, and we watched Age of Ultron, Infinity War, and Endgame. Mm. And I fell asleep during Ultron. Sorry to Ultron. Actually, and Infinity War, but I went back and I watched half of it. I was high. I was tired.
They're long movies.
They're long as fuck.
Yeah.
But I love them, but they're long as fuck. But so when we were watching Infinity War, when she comes, you know, she gets hit by the big spinning thing.
Yeah.
Wanda throws her into the spinning thing. But then she's again in, this is so dumb, but she's again in Endgame.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is that possible? But Thanos like brings her through in the time travel,
yeah.
you know? So she got to squeeze 2 movies out of it. I've been thinking nonstop about how much money you make if you're in a Marvel movie. You know what I mean? Like, I
well, that's
how
why
much
she
money.
Like left because she like thought she wasn't getting enough money.
Fair.
But yeah, I mean, like all the big name people. I mean, I'm pretty sure RDJ. I can't even imagine
oh,
what
no,
he gets.
Set for life. Like,
yeah.
They, well, they
and he's coming
him.
Back.
He's coming back,
which is fucking crazy.
I'm pumped because I love him. Just because I love him.
I'm just
like,
so. Marvel has really lost me on the like alternate timeline shit. Like it's just it's really lost the plot. So it's hard for me to be like excited about it when and you know I was so emotionally damaged by Iron Man's death.
R.I.P. my dog Tony Stark.
Yeah. And then I had to listen to me.
Right. 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 Just, we know that story.
Yeah.
We know that story.
So like the trauma was real and then you know I'm just supposed to pretend like he's Dr. Doom?
I know. But here's what I think is going to happen. Like I am a big fan of Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness.
I love Doctor Strange.
I do really like that movie because it does like melt my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of wrap your head around all the time travel and stuff, but I still really like it. And I love like the Wanda of it all. Like
I love
Wanda.
The witches,
you know, I'm a big fan, obviously. But I think that we're going to see, and these are my Marvel predictions.
Takes. Yeah.
I think that because RDJ will be Doctor Doom, it's like, in one of the timelines he went bad and they're like
is
no Iron
that's,
Man
yes
you know
that's
what, I mean?
What it is
but so I wonder if they're gonna bring like say they bring Spider-Man like back and he's like but we were you know that'll be emotional you
right
know, like,
right
Tony like what right. do you mean like, I wonder if they're gonna acknowledge that in a different timeline he's Tony Stark. They have to.
I feel like they have to,
and that to me is interesting
because there are characters coming back that we're on that timeline of Tony.
Right, exactly. So, like, so that's what I'm saying. There has to be. And he looks, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to pretend that he's not. Like, That would, I think that would jump the shark for me.
Yeah, that's
gonna
true.
They're going to pretend like he's not Tony Stark and he's a totally different
that'd
guy.
That'd be silly.
That'd be fucking crazy. But yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. But anyway, White Lotus. Other things that I thought were beautiful about the episode, the way things were shot, I think was stunning. The death scene, like, of Lachlan. Like dying.
Yeah, that
where
was
they,
really cool.
They loop it all the way back to that conversation that the Buddhists were having.
Yeah.
About when you die, you go back into the water. And I thought that was stunning.
What
lot
did
of
you
beauty.
Think about the character of Mook? I saw a lot of discourse
boring.
About people. Yeah, people were like, what was the point of her existing?
But it's to Polisa in the thing, which again, I'm not upset by her existence. And I also die. Like, is anyone worse at their job than Gay Talk? Like, he's so bad at his job, but now he's protecting What's-Her-Face?
I know.
Forget it.
Like, he pissed me off the entire time.
He's just so, he's
I know.
So bad. I feel like those two were in it more for, like, the country of Thailand. Like, I feel like that's what they were saying about Lisa. Mike White said, he was like, we weren't going to cast her because it was too much of an issue because she's so famous. She's basically a cross between Taylor Swift and Princess Diana in Thailand. That's what
he
said in that long article that I keep referencing. And he was like, she auditioned and she was really good. And then he was like, ultimately, it came down to the fact that like this, not only would she be fine for this like smaller role that's like a good role and she doesn't do anything bad and you know, whatever, that she's better for that. Like that would be nice for Thailand. He's like, that means so much to them.
That's
so
nice.
At the same time, like, you know, we can have her in that role. It's nice. It's sweet. Some people can look up to, like, make her look good, whatever. So he was like, and she was just good at her, you know.
Yeah, she was a good actress,
she
I would
fine.
Say. She was good.
I honestly can't really tell. I thought she was fine, but I couldn't, you know, she speaks Thai the whole time. So I'm not totally sure. Like, I wonder if it were in English, like, if I would notice a difference in acting. Like, it seemed like she was acting well, but I have a hard time in a different language sometimes.
I almost feel like there was maybe too many characters this time. Like, I don't know how many there were compared to last season. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just wrong and there's
no,
the same amount.
I think it's usually
it
about
seems
the same
like,
amount. It's
yeah.
usually like three or four different
like different
groups.
Squads.
So like, let's see, season two was the two couples.
Yeah.
Portia
and Tanya.
Tanya.
The two Italian girls.
The two Italian girls, but they were also looped in
with the manager.
The manager, but then also the Michael Imperioli.
Yes, and the grandpa and the son.
Albie and the son. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe there definitely are the same amount.
And then
I don't know why
gay,
I felt
all the gays,
like,
they're trying to kill me. Like,
yeah.
All that.
Those are all like side characters though.
For sure.
Maybe it's because like the Ratliff family's like bigger.
Yeah.
Than...
It's usually like three big groups. So like season one was Steve Zahn and Connie Britton's family.
Yes,
and
then
that
like
was Sydney Sweeney and her friend. Yeah, so that was five.
Alexandra Daddario.
Daddario and her husband.
And her husband and the mom.
And the
came.
Mom and Molly Shannon came through. And then also in that group.
Tanya again. Belinda.
Greg was heavy in the first season.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's one more group. No, maybe just Armand, the hotel guy, and all of his friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and that young kid with the blonde hair, the young one that like stayed in Hawaii at the end. He was like really cute. What was his name?
Oh, he wanted to stay?
Yeah, his name was Willie or something.
He's in the family, no? He's the one in the family.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, and he wanted to stay, but he didn't get to stay. Because he's only like 16.
Oh, who am I thinking of then?
I don't know.
I'm missing up the son with Lucas Gage, who played the who one that Armand fucked.
Yes. He works at the hotel
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess there are the same amount, but I don't know why for some reason I felt like...
They were all so different.
Maybe because the storylines didn't intertwine as much.
Right, they really didn't at all. Yeah. Like, I feel like they normally kind of intertwine a little bit. Like even in season two, like the girls... spent time with Ethan and what's his face, the husbands.
Yeah,
the girls were away, so that they intertwined with like literally every group, yeah, pretty much. But yeah, you're right. This time around, like the women,
like Guy Talk and Mook had nothing to do with anyone.
I was so convinced that the Mook Rick, like, did we ever find out if that was
Mook
the daughter?
And Rick?
Like, remember?
Oh,
I was like, they
right.
had a moment, and that's when I thought she was a bad guy. I was like, she's a bad guy, and they had a moment, and then I thought that was going to be his daughter. Rick's half sibling, maybe. Like, we never really find. I assume no, but although Mook is like waving Gay Talk goodbye when he's driving Tala or whatever away, so I don't know. Maybe that's a loose end I would like to know.
Yeah,
was that your daughter? But she wasn't crying like her dad just got shot. So
no, definitely.
I guess not.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's I think was another thing. Like there was really not a lot of crossover, and I thought there was gonna be some crossover with the women and the Ratcliffe family because of like the whole thing with Kate and
yes, me too,
the mom. But yeah, that
everyone's
was,
seeming to think and,
that was
and
just kind of just to show that
yeah,
she
the
was
class.
A bitch. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I was seeing people say, and I agree that it's like a to show that Victoria thinks that she's so above anyone else with money, even in that setting. They're at the exact same place doing the exact same thing, and she still feels better than her.
Yeah.
So that, but that makes sense, I think, for the storyline. So, but I would have liked to know more about that.
Yeah, me too.
Who knows, though? There's always another season.
That's true. I do hope we see some reoccurring people. Who would you like to see come back in season three? Or four, should I say?
I would like some of the women.
Yeah.
Maybe Leslie Bibb's character can come back. Or Carrie Coon, obviously.
Yeah.
But Carrie Coon, I don't know. Like, I liked her character in this, like, I feel like she wouldn't be frequently going to these places.
Yeah,
I do think that Leslie.
Oh, also, like with
might.
Chloe, like in the and Greg, like.
Oh yeah,
I just felt like
that was kind of whatever. And, like, I didn't care about.
Yeah,
I liked
like,
Chloe, but I also didn't really care about her at the same time.
Yeah, like she obviously like stirred the pot a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So like that was a good part about her, but like. I don't know. I feel like with Chelsea's death, like we didn't see anyone like react to it.
Right. I was curious
like,
about
Saxon
the timeline.
Or Chloe.
I have a feeling that nobody knew. Like I have a feeling like technically
they tried to hide it.
Especially at a nice resort like that, they keep shit locked up. So I have a friend who works in hotels, and she says that like deaths like that happen constantly, and they always have to cover it up.
Because you don't want people.
Because you don't want people to know about it. But she said that people like kill themselves in
what
hotels
did you
all
think?
The time. That's like a constant. It's like they're like trained to know what to do.
That's
because
crazy.
It happens so often. Isn't that crazy?
What did you think about Zion? Wait, did you see that Zion and Piper
Zion
were supposed to fuck?
Yes. Yeah, so
that would have ruined it
things.
For me.
That would have ruined it. I would have hated that.
I would have hated that.
They had a deleted scene essentially of Piper. After
losing her virginity.
Yeah, after accepting the fact that she's a spoiled brat and whatever, thinks to herself, like, Saxon is right and all I need to do is get laid. And she apparently has sex with Zion at some point.
Yeah, which would make
they cut
no
it out.
Sense.
Made no sense. But Mike White says that they cut it out because it was a little too rom-commy right in the middle of, like, the father trying to poison his whole family. So
yes.
Like, it didn't really make sense for the story. And I totally agree.
Yeah,
like,
I agree. 1,000%.
I'm fine knowing that.
And also, they had no... fucking crossover,
no
whatever.
Yeah.
So that would make no sense for her to just sleep with the first guy she sees. Also,
I wanted to kill him, Zion,
just because they gave him like the worst dialogue ever. He was like, come on, mom, we're going to break this bitch up and get this money. Let's go.
Can I be so real?
It felt like Riverdale.
After, it was exactly like Riverdale.
Yeah.
After the series was over, I did a little research on Zion. That's exactly how he is in real life.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like he did like an interview, like a funny thing. He had like maybe a little more charisma.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much exactly him. So I have a feeling that
like
the collaboration was, and to be fair,
be
Belinda's
yourself.
A little corny too.
That's
so
true.
I think that kind of, it does fit, I think, that she would have, like, a corny son who, like, flies all the way over and is like, I'm in business school.
Get your money up.
Yeah, I'm in business school. Let me, I got an MBA, baby. Like, some cocky, like, whatever. Like, that, like, I kind of see it. But also, yeah, the Piper thing is whatever. I'm fine knowing that. I don't think I would have cared. I would have liked to have seen, that would have been a fun thing to, like, build up over time. You know what I mean? Like, her seeing him, meeting him, like, a couple, oh, will they, won't they? Like, then I would have liked to have seen it. Something else. Wait, fuck. Zion.
Belinda. Piper. Mike White.
Oh, Cristobal, the, composer of the White Lotus has quit, and so here's the timeline of events. So Cristobal is his name for real. It's like Cristobal van der Veer,
yeah, of course.
Crazy. And so first thing I saw a tweet with a video of the White Lotus theme song for season 3, which everybody famously was kind of like, yeah, it doesn't sound like the others. It doesn't have the by the end of the season, I didn't notice or care. And I loved the theme and thought it fit way better than the other theme.
Yeah, I agree.
So this, like, leak comes out that actually the original composition was supposed to include bits and pieces of it. And it's a minute long. And in the last, like, 15 seconds, finally we get that.
It's like 2 minutes long. It's long so as fucking fuck. Long. Yeah.
But then, to me, I listened to it, and it sounds exactly like season 2. And so I was like, all right, I'm over it.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't
like it, and I trusted in Mike White. And so anyway, the reason I'm saying it is because that came out, and then the news of him quitting came out. Mm. And then in my head, I was like, this guy.
Drama queen.
Like, he saw people talking shit about the theme song and, like, couldn't handle it and needed to be like, not my choice.
Yeah,
Mike White's fault. And then yesterday or Tuesday, Mike White came out and said, like, he's being dramatic on, like, the creative differences aspect of things. Like, he's very talented, but he was really smug and he didn't respect me.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of, I had to kiss his ass more than anyone I've ever worked with just to, like, lead a horse to water. So basically, like, it sounds like it was pretty collaborative in the way that Mike White was involved in helping him, you know, reach the point where the music was, you know, involved in the show or whatever.
Yeah.
But that it wasn't like he came in and was like, here's the magic, you're welcome. It sounds like Mike was pretty involved. So for Cristobal to go off and go, I love calling him Cristobal, for him to go off and be like, fuck you guys, it's whatever. And so Mike went at the end was like, have fun on your next project. Like, bye.
Yeah.
We'll make do without
you. I listened to the original and like, I get wanting to incorporate like the OG theme in the end, whatever, but like, it just didn't feel, it felt a little forced.
It felt forced for
to
sure.
To me. Yes. And I like the OG. I mean, I like the one that they decided to go with.
Me too.
Not as long, which is nice. And yeah, I mean, I feel like it perfectly captures the vibe of the season.
I totally agree.
And like, tying in season 2, like, would it really make sense? Because, like,
I totally
obviously
agree.
There are some times with the stories, but
season 1 has the same theme song as well, but it's just slower. So it's like a slow version. Season 2 is pumped up. Mm. So everyone thought season 3 would be the same, but like a different sound.
Yeah.
And whatever that was released where it had the same, like, the woo-woos, it really didn't. There was no difference from season 2. Like, it wasn't different enough where I could be like, oh, this is interesting, like a cool take on it. What I will say that I thought was genius is that throughout the series throughout season 3, in like an ominous moment, hauntingly in the background, the there are a few scenes where you can hear it in the background just for like as like a whisper.
Yeah.
As like, oh, something's coming. That I loved. I loved that even more because it was like, oh my God, it's the theme. It's the theme.
Yeah.
Like, you, it's kind of like an Easter egg of sorts. And so I thought that was better. And yeah, best of luck to Cristobal's next
best
project.
Best of luck to you, Cristobal.
We don't need you. Mike White, we don't need you.
Yeah, that was funny, that whole drama.
From
like,
Mike White. We need Mike White.
Why do I feel like this season had like so much drama?
So much drama. I think
it's all Jason
emotional.
Isaacs.
I know. Jason Isaacs, what a shit stir.
He's such a shit.
He cannot stop talking shit.
When you were saying that, I literally just came up on my Twitter, Jason Isaacs, on the experience of filming the White Lotus, he goes, it was a theater camp, but to some extent, an open prison camp. You couldn't avoid one another. There are tensions and difficulties. I don't know if they spilled from on screen to off screen or if it would have happened anyway. There were alliances that formed and broke, romances that formed and broke, friendships that formed and broke.
He's so messy.
It's a long period of time for people to be away from their family with an open bar and all the wilderness being in Thailand allows.
Oh,
I can't pretend
God.
I wasn't involved in some off-screen drama. There were times when things were not quite so fun. I was in some ways used to it, but within a couple weeks, my wife, who was with him on set, went, some of these people are fucking mad. I said, no, it's just a bunch of actors away on location, love. You've forgotten what it's like.
Okay. Again, Jason Isaacs, gossip queen of the world. Like, we all know that. Lucius Malfoy once in. Like, I just, you know.
I wonder what romance formed and broke.
Who knows? Like, yeah, who knows? What? It's got to be Rick and Chelsea. But like,
I was thinking that too. Walter Goggins.
It also could be any. I mean, he's married, Walton Goggins. But like, so that's a crazy thing to say. Oh, people also are getting weird about. So Walton Goggins, as an actor, is very into his roles. Like,
right.
He's a guy who like, he's a method actor. He like, basically pretends to be that person for the period of time that he's doing it. He gets very into it. So when the finale happened and Rick and Chelsea are both dead, he posted like basically as Rick. You know what I mean? He's posted
that was
18
insanity.
Slide.
And Amy Lou Wood was like they weren't in love. They were just both crazy.
Yeah, but that's like, but Rick definitely was. You know what I mean? Like Rick never appreciated what he had. Like I think that Walton Goggins feels guilt for Chelsea's
Rick.
Death. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like that's what I'm saying. Like he's so into it. So people are so hung up on like whatever. And you know, maybe one day we'll get the full story.
Yeah.
And maybe there was something more that happened. But I think it's more likely that he just has like this like love and respect and sadness like as a character
for
his co-star character, you know? So but he's a good guy. Like Walton Goggins is, you know, he's not a cheater. He's not a piece of shit. He's not one of those guys.
I've never heard like bad things about him in the press.
If you also go take a look at how he speaks about every one of his co-stars, men included, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like he's like in love with everyone he works with. Like he's just that kind of guy, which makes me love him even more, to be honest. I also love how every photo of him is just like him with the girls. Like it's always like Walton Goggins, like hand on hip with all the ladies.
He's such a diva.
You're the fucking best. And I bet Jason Isaacs was just jealous, you know?
Yeah.
He strikes me as a jealous guy.
It's crazy to
say that
he just kept having like all these crazy quotes throughout the whole season. His character really didn't do
do a whole lot until the end. Yeah, he's mostly quiet,
but all in all I did enjoy this season. I liked it a lot. Like I wouldn't say it was bad or anything, and just because like there was a few things I wasn't happy with at the end, I would still say this season was like top tier television.
Absolutely. You know, it fits right in with all the other good TV on right now. There's a lot of good TV on right now. Like TV is at its peak at the moment for the season. Like we're living La Vida Loca. We're living large. Last of Us comes back this upcoming Sunday. Prepare yourself to fill the void.
It's about to be an emotional disturbance on that show.
For sure.
I played the video game. So
I know
what happens.
You know what's up. I haven't played the game, but I heard people have been telling me to be on guard.
Yeah,
with my tears.
Yeah.
So we've got that coming. We got The Studio on Apple TV.
I've heard a lot about that.
Excellent show.
Yeah.
I'm currently watching that, like All American Family or something. That Ellen Pompeo. Did we talk about this already?
Oh yeah, we did.
Ellen Pompeo, Orphan. Basically,
the Orphan.
It's pretty good
story.
And then the other show I want to start, but Hulu keeps fucking up for some reason. Dying for Sex.
Oh.
I really want to watch that show. It's got Michelle Williams.
Love her.
And who I also love. And I'm not sure who all else is in it, but Robbie, Gabby's wife, is in it as well.
Who's Gabby?
Gabby.
Wendy?
Wendy.
Oh,
yeah.
The comedian. Oh, okay.
Gabby
Robbie.
Wendy, like,
Bachelor,
Traitors.
Wait, that's funny. Okay.
Robbie, her wife, is in this show.
Oh, nice.
Sex, and apparently
okay.
It's very funny and good and whatever. So I don't know how much she's in it, but she has a scene with Michelle.
Watch The Pit.
I watched The Pit.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Pit is hard for me to watch because my mom worked in the emergency room. And so it feels very much like my mom's stories. She told me that it is the most accurate ER show she's seen.
It seems like it. Yeah. Obviously, I don't know anything about being in an ER or whatever, but like it seems super realistic.
It is.
And what I like about it is that it all takes place within one day, which is like crazy to even grasp, because like each episode
it's
is
like
fucking
one
wild.
Shift it's like a 12-hour shift, you know,
so
which is
crazy. It's really really good. I didn't realize that the main guy was in ER.
I didn't
know that
original ER, so that's why it's like a big Noah Lyle, right? So that's why
I've really been enjoying that, and really hating Yellow Jackets.
I fell off on Yellow Jackets. I'm behind now, I think.
Season 3
episodes.
Has really just taken a turn for the worse.
I think I've only watched like 2 episodes. Last I watched was the coach
died?
No, he like showed back up, but I had a feeling they were probably gonna kill
him.
Yeah.
Like that, and yeah, like.
It was crazy of him to think that they weren't gonna.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm still invested in like the young girl's storyline. That's like what's keeping me watching it. But they really lost the plot with the older women. And even like the.
With the husband getting involved. Oh, like, it's just
like, everything. And like if you catch up, like they killed off two major characters. And you're like, why? Like what?
Yeah, like
it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, just like their actions. Throughout the whole season, like why they're doing it is just so stupid to me. And yeah, I'm just getting so tired of like them being so annoying and like Shauna, the main girl, being like the fucking worst.
Yeah.
So it's like
everyone hates Shauna.
I just have to finish.
She's a good hateable character.
She is.
Like she's just everything she does is wrong.
It's just crazy. Like there's just no justifying.
I was a Shauna truther for a while, but it's very hard to defend.
Yeah, in the beginning, I was like, oh my god, like you know, she like lost her baby, like she's like lost her best friend, like she's going through it. But like, okay, like that was like 25 years ago, girl. Like go to therapy
for real. Stop. Yeah, stop like skinning rabbits on the side.
Yeah, like what? And like
when you need a fix.
Yeah,
like,
it's fucking
weird. Very bizarre.
Yeah, she just pisses me the fuck off. So, like, that's what's annoys me. And, like, even, like, the real actresses have talked about how they, like, were falsely told, like, what their roles would be and stuff. Like, Juliette Lewis, like, was so pissed.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous to not have Juliette Lewis on forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what
they,
the fuck?
And, like,
So dumb.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely going to watch the finale when it comes out. I think it comes out today on the show, if this is Thursday. Either Friday or Thursday, I don't remember.
Yeah,
but
I got to catch up. I'll
watch the finale, but if it's not mind-blowing, something that really hooks me back in, I think I'm going to give up because I can't.
You know what I liked better? The Wilds.
I never heard of it.
Similar concept. Came out at exactly the same time. Yellow Jackets and this show. And this show was... It was on purpose. These girls are in a plane crash on an island and they have to learn how to survive. And there's only like 8 of them or something. And they were on their way to some like, you know, rehab basically for like a behavioral rehab.
Oh, shit.
Something.
Okay.
And then so turns out, well, I mean, I don't know. It's an old show, but it's like, it's more controlled than they know.
Oh.
So that's what it's all about. But it is also like girls living in the wild and doing whatever. And then I think season 2 they did the same experiment with boys.
Oh.
It's like, and then they combine each other. Honestly, great show. And I feel like it was canceled, but similar vibes to Yellow Jackets.
It makes me want to live in the wilderness. I know like it probably shouldn't make me want to live in the wilderness,
but for some
reason like I really just want to see if I can last in the wilderness for like a week.
Well,
I think
no, I mean,
could.
I could. I'm acting like I'm some like waify flower. Like I feel like I do that all the time.
Like Piper.
Like, oh no, I could never. And it's like, no, I definitely could.
Yeah.
I like was pretty rough and tumble for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I never, you know, only recently have I become like a pansy ass. But
I think I could do it.
I could. The only thing that'd be hard for me is food. Finding food. That'd
yeah,
be hard.
Killing things would be hard.
Killing things wouldn't like I wouldn't feel like guilty or anything.
Yeah.
I just mean like finding like a weapon to kill it with, finding a bow and arrow. Something,
yeah.
You know
yeah.
I mean? Like setting a trap would be difficult.
I think
like those things would be hard, but building a shelter. I would love that. Almost sounds fun.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
Let's home decorate. You know, I'm very crafty when it comes to like using what's around me to make something.
Right.
I could definitely do that.
I could be good at like hunting and gathering, I think.
Like the gathering part?
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I
yeah.
think if I learned how to hunt, like I'd be a good hunter.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. Like once, as soon as we have, definitely.
Yeah.
As soon as we have the right tools to hunt, I'm a sharp shooter. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I shot a turkey right in the neck. Let's not forget.
That's true.
So yeah, I think that I'd crush that. But again, no guns out in the wilderness.
That's true.
Interesting stuff. The cold also. It'd have to be warm. I couldn't deal with cold.
That is very true.
I'm a little bitch when it comes to the cold.
Yeah, it would have to be warm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's that. And that's our TV show segment
on
Taylor Watch. But yeah, White Lotus was just such a big discussion. Hard not to discuss it. But
definitely.
Good show. Looking forward to season 4. I'm sure there will be one. I think they've already, they haven't announced that it's renewed, but of course.
I think he said he wants to like move away from like the beach stuff.
Yeah. Which I would love.
Yeah.
A lot of good, cool places they could go with that. They could do a snowy location. They could do the pyramids, safari, a lot of different options away from the ocean that I'm excited to see. It would have to be in a place where like rich people would go though. So
yeah.
when you're making your lists of like my favorite places, you got to think of a place that rich
maybe
people
like, would yeah, maybe like St. Moritz in Switzerland or something like that.
Think of like where Four Seasons are around the world.
Right.
That's what it seems to be. Oh, also in this, I keep bringing up this article.
Mike White said that they started the show because HBO was like, we need something. It's COVID. Can you think of an idea with like that needs minimal resources and can be like, you know, COVID safe or right. whatever. And Mike White, that's why he picked a hotel. Cause he's like, cause no one's going to hotels right now and we can all stay in one location and it's whatever.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
How the story started, like, and why it was at hotels and stuff.
I like that.
I thought it was interesting. Gia, I know that we talked about it the other day, but I have been getting more attention than ever. Because of my brand new Blue Moon Steven Singer 24 karat dipped
yes.
rose that's sitting on my desk. And I've never been happier to own something. I already had a rose on my desk, but I only had one. Mm. And I believe it's a pink one. And I liked it and it was fine. But I didn't have like a little vase for it. Like it just kind of was there and I just kind of set it up nice. You have a beautiful bouquet on yours yes. and you've been getting a lot of attention. And so I was really jealous and I made that very clear. And then I was delivered a Blue Moon rose on my desk.
And now it looks stunning. Gorgeous.
And now I look gorgeous and everyone is jealous of
yes.
me.
So if you want your mom to be getting all
mom.
The attention, all the jealousy, for her to be bragging to mm-hmm. all of her friends, look what my kid got me.
Yep.
Look at what I got for Mother's Day. I got the 24 karat gold dipped Blue Moon rose limited edition from Steven Singer. Everyone's going to be so jealous.
I'm legitimately getting it for my mom for her desk. Oh, like, I'm not kidding.
They're
like,
that gorgeous.
Is, like, she will die for yes. this. Like, this is such a good mom gift. Like, we talk about this all the time. We love Steven Singer. Definitely, you know, we talked about it a lot around Valentine's Day for your significant other and friends and et cetera, et cetera. This, if you were thinking about it then, do it now.
Yeah.
Because it is the perfect Mother's Day
perfect gift. Like, Mother's I'm Day gift, you. Really. Yeah. And you can skip the flowers that die in a week because Steven Singer Jewelers' signature gold dip roses are real roses dipped in real 24 karat gold and are guaranteed to last a lifetime. So you can give her something she can look at and remember how loved she is all year long. This forever gift of a real long stem 24 karat gold dip rose has Steven's full lifetime guarantee. Mm-hmm. And it comes to you in an impressive gift box and your own personalized Mother's Day note.
Ooh.
So order now exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com. Hurry, because these will not be restocked and supply is limited. Shipping is always complimentary, which means free, and nothing says I love you like a real authentic Steven Singer 24 karat gold dip rose that lasts a lifetime. Only available on Steven Singer Jewelers in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com.
Shall we get back?
Let's do it.
And jump hear from our Taylor Watch girlies.
Voicemails and DMs.
Fabulous.
Okay.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Gia. This is Gail from Rhode Island.
Hey, Gail.
I love
hey,
the
Gail.
Podcast. I look forward to watching every Tuesday and Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just wondering, what percentage-wise do you think the chances are that Travis and Taylor will be at Coachella at least one night, either this weekend or next weekend? I'm thinking it's about 75% chance. She's been hiding, not hiding, but we haven't seen her in so long. Will she keep that going, or will this be her chance to show up and her and Travis have some time together in the public? So love to know what you both think, and keep up the great work. I love it, and I especially love when you sing together. Thanks. Bye.
Yes.
Thanks, girl. Thanks, Gail.
Thanks, Gail. Love you. So honestly, interesting. I'm curious to your thoughts because you were.
I was so dead set on them not going.
Oh, I thought you were saying like they'll definitely go last time we talked about it.
Oh, did I? Oh,
I feel like maybe.
Maybe I was
maybe
like
you were like
oh maybe. The pit. Maybe I was thinking like they won't go GA.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Like there's no way they'll go GA. They'll just be backstage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You said something like that.
Yeah,
I think I said something like bleachers isn't there.
Right,
Jack Antonoff, which I think was part of the reason they went last year.
Right. Like the coach, I'm trying to.
I honestly.
Lady
I'm
Gaga.
Gaga, maybe. But I am kind of leaning towards no. Gaga would be.
Gaga Post
might
Malone?
Get her there. Gaga might get her there. I don't think Post would get her there. We love Post, but I don't think.
Yeah.
Unless he's sing. He's not going to sing Fortnite. You know what I mean?
Right.
He doesn't have a big enough part in it to sing it.
Yeah, I am interested to see, but yeah, I'm looking at the lineup. Makes me think no.
Yeah, I'm thinking no.
But I could obviously, you know, we usually eat crow with stuff like this because,
so
like,
true.
Usually the stuff that she like we don't think she's gonna go to, she does.
I know every time.
Yeah, I just like last year made sense with bleachers and Ice Spice.
Mm-hmm.
This year, like, there's really no one that like she's like besties with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So
but I don't know.
I really don't know. I something in my gut tells me no. But
yeah,
I
would say
I do
like
think that. Like right, every
45% is where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of yes, she'll
say
be
like
there.
20.
Okay.
For some reason, I just feel no way. But again, who knows? And maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need to be like, nah, she's not going. So
right.
Then she does.
So then she does. Right.
Reverse jinx, you know?
Right.
So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, no, I'm unsure. I'm unsure. I just feel like whatever she's up to. She's probably having a good time.
Yeah. And I feel like she's been, you know, quiet for mm-hmm. a while. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I feel like she, maybe, I don't know. If I was in her shoes and I was on this huge tour or whatever, I would want like a nice period of time to just like
same.
Be by my, like be my,
was,
by myself, stuff like that.
I was thinking about that the other day, like the come down from the tour.
Yeah.
It has to be
crazy.
Crazy. Like not just, you know, exhaustion and all that, which I'm sure... You know, there are moments where she'll have lazy days and then still you still want to keep your body moving because you were moving so much. Like to
yeah.
stop all that in one day is like almost too much.
Yeah.
I think that'd be like hard on you physically and mentally. But I think that like the mental part of it all, where every weekend, multiple nights, you go out to, you know, 80,000 plus screaming people, and that, like, you know, as much as we want to say like, oh, Taylor does it for the people, whatever, blah, 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 that feeling of people cheering for you and like that love and validation that you get from the fans, like the high from that has to be a low, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a, you got to kind of decompress.
For sure.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're so used to getting all this like love and attention. That at least, maybe I'm projecting, because I think that is how I would feel.
Right.
Like, I would feel like, oh my God, I'm getting all this love every night. And then it goes away. Not that the like love has gone away, but it's not every day that you get to walk into a stadium of people and hear everybody cheering your name.
Yeah.
Like, that is a drug in itself, I think. Like that would feel so,
for sure.
You know what I mean? Like you're so high, so high. So it's like, what is she doing to replace those highs? Because it's just your emotions are all over the place.
Yeah.
Or do we think that she's so professional, which is probably more likely the situation, that she never, it's a job and she doesn't get lost in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like she's so used to touring at this point
yeah.
that like, I think it's more just like a decompression thing. Obviously we both don't know at all, but like,
right, of course.
Just like,
no, but I agree.
But
I think that that's
same,
part of the
yes,
decompression.
In the same line
like,
of
oh,
like, yeah, like, you know, going back to more of like a normal routine,
yeah.
I guess you could say, whatever normal is for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like if I was going through that, I think I would want to kind of like lay low still.
Definitely. Definitely.
But she also like she likes to go out. She likes to have fun.
She likes to go out. But apparently she's been going out just like, you know, out of the eyes of the paparazzi. People
yeah.
are saying that they're seeing her at restaurants with Travis all over the place, whatever, but no pictures, blah, blah, blah. So, who knows what's going on? But yeah, I know that mentally, I think, you know, I've done a couple like live shows and the high gets you going for yeah. a couple days.
Yeah,
I mean,
for
like,
sure.
Imagine doing it for like 2 years straight.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like, I feel like I'd cry a lot. Like I'm an unstable person for sure. But like, I don't know. She's an emo girl too.
Yeah,
like,
no,
maybe
for
it's
sure.
Like,
it's a big emotional.
Even out, you know?
It's emotionally taxing for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. Definitely curious about that. But no, I don't know about Coachella. Let's
yeah, we'll see.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Tia. This is Haley. I hope you guys had an amazing weekend. I hope you guys have an amazing week. Also, on a side note, happy Coachella this weekend. I can't wait to see every clip on TikTok and Instagram for Coachella. Mm-hmm. But also, happy 1 year anniversary of the Torture Poets Department. It has been
well,
a year
close.
Of everything Taylor has given us in this album.
10 days.
It's one of my favorites. Personally, one of my favorites. I remember, and you guys clearly all remember, at the Grammys where she announced, I think it was the Grammys that she announced she had an album, Torture Poets Department. I remember that. I loved Kelly's video of her reaction and then telling her, I'm from the future and the album is amazing. And when we all anticipated to listen to the album, we got a double header for a anthology of the Torture Poets Department. Oh my God. It was a double header. Loved it. I especially love you and Gia's reaction to the Torture Poets Department listening. One of my favorites.
Yay.
Hands down, one of my favorite videos that you guys did. Me and my friends we'll watch it again as a anniversary to the album, all the clues, Easter eggs, everything that she's done.
Yeah, everything I watched the first time. Watch it again.
Poetry. Beyond poetry. But I want to know what you guys think after listening to Torture Poets Department for the entire year. What are your guys' final thoughts on the album? I'd love to know what your guys' thoughts are for Thursday's episode. Have a great day. Bye, guys. Love you.
Bye, girl. Love you. Love the energy.
Love the energy.
I will say we are 10 days out from from the anniversary.
Maybe she's getting April 9th
Move
and
over,
April.
Fearless Taylor's version.
Maybe she's getting April 19th and April 9th. Confused.
Yeah, maybe. And listen, the 9th, July 9th. There's a lot of nines.
Lots of nines.
A lot of nines. However, I think that...
Sentiment still stands.
Agreed. I think we should save our faves for the actual 1 year anniversary. Okay. But I will say that overall, we've definitely discussed a few times how our like thoughts and feelings have changed towards the album over the last year.
Yeah.
And overall, like I like it more than ever. Like it continues to grow.
Yes.
Like, there's no ceiling for how much I love this album personally.
It is crazy because, you know, 30 many songs came out and it was like overwhelming almost where you're like, oh my God, like, I don't even know where to start. Like, what songs do I like? I don't know what's good, what's bad. They're all kind of like sounding the same, like, because you're listening to the album all the way through. And yeah, as the months have gone on, you know, you go through different moments in your life that reflect different songs. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just feel like the more time has gone by, the more you can like learn and like listen and like see, you know, how exceptional each song individually is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, like, I think when the album first came out, I knew it was really good. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, it could be magnum opus, like could pass Folklore.
Honestly, sometimes when I'm listening, I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
It almost feels like Folklore is the bud and Torture Poets is the flower.
Yes,
you know?
Totally. Like, Evermore is like the...
Evermore is the leaf. The photosynthesis. Yeah. Like, that's it. It's right in between.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, is what made it grow. Because like,
I think I said this when Torture Poets came out. I was like, I still think Folklore is her magnum opus. But I think I changed my mind. I think Torture Poets,
so
it's just
good.
Like... It's really hard to have that big of an album be so fucking good and have almost every song be individually so strong. Obviously, there's like a few that like could have gone off there. I think Thank You, Amy is like the worst song on the album.
Yeah, yeah. There's like barely. But I will say, though, sometimes when it comes on, I still shed a tear. Like, I still get that moment of like, yeah, to all the fucking haters, like, fuck you. Like, if you're listening in the right mood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but I agree. It's a...
But like, that doesn't even matter, though, because like... Everything is so powerful. And yeah, I don't know. I just feel like as we said, as time goes on, more and more realizations from people have been like, oh my God, wait, this album's actually really good. I didn't get it, but now I really do get it, you know?
Right, absolutely. And I think that as is the case with most of Taylor's albums, when you really absorb the lyrics and absorb the meaning behind it, you feel more strongly for the album. But I think truly what it has as like an advantage over the other ones are the amount of songs that are on it. And also just the story that it tells throughout the album. Like we've mentioned it a million times. Like when I listen to Torture Poets, I start at Fortnite and I end at the manuscript. Yeah. Like I usually don't skip around. I pretty much listen to it top to bottom.
It's just like so lyrically dense. Like every song is like this beautiful picture. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just such a crazy achievement.
It's
and
so good. It really is.
It really is so fucking good.
It's like she stuck her hand inside her chest and pulled her heart out and said, here it is to my fans in album form, 31 songs. Like, Jesus
Which is
Christ.
Really hard to do.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay,
so
let's
Great
go
question.
Into
Thank you,
DMs.
Haley.
Hold on. I have to sneeze.
Yeah, make it happen.
Went away. Fuck.
Damn.
I know.
I hate that feeling.
Okay. This one just said, can we please honor the tolerated performance from Ashley in Chicago? I love you, ladies.
Absolutely we can. One of the best above all. Where was I? I made you my temple, my mirror, my sky.
Now I'm begging for footnotes in the story of your life.
Giant hearts
in the bylines. Always taking up too much space and time. You want to know something that... maybe it's kind of crazy to admit, but when I first heard that song, I kind of thought it sucked.
Oh no, I didn't like it at
because
first
and that like
yes, I'm so with you.
John
yes.
Hart's and the bylines. I was yeah. like, what the fuck is this?
I but then, understood it, but I the tone is what the like it was a little too.
Because the flow is whiny, very interesting. But yeah.
If I said whiny, is that offensive? Like at first listen, I was like, damn, she's really ragging on.
Yeah.
And then of course I'm like, well, I can relate. Like, yeah. of course. And you kind of go through the lyrics and you hear the pain behind it. It's hard though to think about like, I mean, it also could be that I haven't exactly experienced it. Sometimes with a song, especially a Taylor song, like, sometimes she will write about things that I don't exactly have firsthand yeah. experience. And I do have experience like being taken advantage of,
yeah.
I guess, in terms of like my love and compassion or whatever, but not to the extent that I would write tolerate it.
You know right, I mean? Like, right.
So, I mean, maybe I have if I really dig
tolerate
down,
it. I've said this before. It always reminds me of Prince Charles and Diana.
So and you have said that and I completely yeah. agree.
Like,
it is
always,
so real.
It's like their song for sure. But yeah.
Yep.
It's also crazy to me that like so many people didn't get to see that performance.
I know.
We were lucky enough to see it.
We were. It was a really good performance.
In MetLife.
Yeah.
But yeah, such a great what's it called? Like mid show like sketch or
oh,
something.
Yes,
like
yes.
you know
it
what
was,
I mean?
It,
like
it broke it up
a skit
little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Broke it up, broke up the show a little bit. And I also think like it was just you know, it's a moment for Taylor to act a little.
Yeah, totally. You
know, to kind of act out these emotions. And I think that Tolerate It, once you're into the song and you can really appreciate it for what it is, I do think seeing it in action like that is the best way to portray.
Yeah.
Like, I almost think, like, singing it alone
oh,
doesn't
yeah,
do it justice.
It,
like,
adds,
it needs to be acted out, you know?
It adds such an emotional
yes.
aspect to it.
Totally.
But yeah, Tolerate It is up there with one of her best mm-hmm. songs for sure. I also think like the flow of it threw me off in the beginning, like mm-hmm. kind of like closure, like
yeah, I agree.
It's not like a flow of a song that I've ever heard.
Totally agree.
Okay, so we went through this one. Rank your surprise songs.
Oh yes, we did. We did it. We did it. Okay, so
how did you rank them? Did you go by like show or did you go by
so I did
song?
I went by I did both. I okay. did yes, I did both, but I liked doing it by song better because it really went all over the place by song.
Okay.
Which should I do first, or do you have both or one or the other?
I just have song, but I can do place as well.
Okay.
Go do song first.
All right, I'll do song first. So my top, should I go bottom top or top bottom?
I go top bottom.
Top bottom.
Yeah.
Right. Number one is Maroon. Heard yeah. it in New York. First Taylor Swift concert ever. Favorite song on Midnight.
Jealous.
Lost my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Right. Second is My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys in Paris, night two. That performance made me love that song. Like
yeah.
I loved that song before, but it was so beautiful, so haunting. I was like, I could cry right now
yeah.
thinking about it. Like it was so good. Third, I have the Is It Over Now, Out of the Woods mashup.
Yeah, that was good.
I think because it was so exciting when that happened, because we all were saying, especially when 1989 Taylor's version came out, that Is It Over Now sounded just
yes.
like Out of the Woods. So having it be mashed up, it was like, wah!
Yeah.
You know, it was just exciting. Fourth, I have Getaway Car featuring Jack Antonoff. Of course, he was there. Same
Flex.
Night that I caught Maroon.
That's crazy that it's four, but
I
yeah.
I know, but I just love,
yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
love the, I love Getaway Car and I love Jack, and that was super exciting.
Yeah.
But just the other songs are, I just like more. Then I have the This Is Me Trying Daylight mashup from Night One Miami. And last place, I have Tim McGraw, Timeless mashup, also Night One in Miami. And I'm sad to have put that down there, but it's Timeless's fault.
Yeah, it's Timeless's fault.
Tim McGraw, I cried when she
yeah.
had Tim McGraw going. I would have loved her to
just solo.
Tim McGraw.
Yeah, me too.
Timeless is fine. It's just not one of my songs.
Okay, so I would go number one, This Is Me Trying, Daylight
Good.
From Miami,
yes,
Night One.
Loved.
Yes,
yes, yes,
I
yes,
loved.
Yes. An unexpected mashup
yes,
that was so
that
beautiful.
Really sent me over the edge.
Yeah, that would have been higher for me if I didn't have such a stacked top, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
Then number two, I would say This Love, which I got Philly Night 2.
Mm.
Number three, I would say Holy Ground, which I
yes.
got New Jersey Night 2. And then False God, which I was the same night.
False God is so good.
Yeah. And
I'm really
then
that.
Clean.
So good.
Which was New York Night 3. Mm-hmm. And then I would go Forever. Then I would go My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go Forever and Always. Mm-hmm. And then I would go, Is It Over Now? Out of the Woods.
Yep.
And then I would go Tim McGraw, Timeless, and then Welcome to New York last.
Of course. Yeah. All in all, 5 shows?
Yeah.
Damn. I know. In my head, you only were at 4.
5.
5 is so nice.
I know. Well, I always forget that I went.
I'm so jealous.
I always forget that I went 2 nights in a row.
That extra. Right, yeah. In New York, right?
Yeah.
Or Meadowlands.
Yeah. In Met New Life. Jersey, yeah, MetLife, yeah. Whatever. But yeah, I
so
think.
Good.
This is me trying a daylight. It was such an unexpected moment mm-hmm. that really hit hard. And this love was so beautiful. Hearing that song live was amazing. And that like really made me like fall more in love with that song.
Of course.
And like my boy Only Breaks Your Favorite Toys. Like that's when I was like, oh shit, like this song goes fucking hard.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. And it really is like when you hear, once you hear a song live, even if you're just
yes.
surprise song or not, it really makes you appreciate it. I mean, it's the Shake It Off effect. Shake It Off. I'm never putting on Shake It Off.
Yeah.
In my headphones, but Shake It Off on and I dance like an
yeah,
asshole.
Legit.
I was like, this song. You saw Prince William. Nobody yeah. danced harder than Prince William to Shake It Off. Shake It Off.
Yeah.
Shake It Off. I'll never forget Prince
no,
William
literally.
Dancing to Shake It Off.
Well, that's when I was like, oh, I'll go to the bathroom during, I think it was like Shake It Off or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I cannot go to the bathroom.
No.
I'm shaking it off.
I tried to go to the bathroom during 22. I couldn't possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I can't. How could I miss 22?
Never seen 22 live.
Yeah, never seen it live. But but I thought that was good. As far as location, honestly, that's harder.
Oh, right.
Because I was going to do, for me, I was in, I want to put this order, Paris, New York, Miami, but Maroon is like the hardest thing ever. So I think I have to go New York first.
Yeah.
New York, Maroon, Getaway Car with Jack. And I mean, that has to go first. It'd be crazy if I didn't put that first. And then Paris second for me, Miami third.
I think I would go... New York night 2, which was Holy Ground and False God.
Yeah, good one.
Philly night 2, which was Forever and Always and This Love.
Forever and Always is so good.
Paris night 2, Is It Over Now, Out of the Woods, and then My Boy.
Yeah.
Miami night 1, just because Tim McGraw Timeless really throws it off. Mm-hmm. But this is me trying Daylight. And then New York night 3, Welcome to New York and Clean.
Yeah, fair. Which I think that, I know that you were bumming at the time about Welcome to New York. But
I wish I enjoyed it more in the moment.
True.
But Clean,
Clean
really
what an offset. Yeah,
Clean,
what an
we
offset.
Were like, oh my God.
Lose
like it was
mind.
Such a that was another
Did you
unexpected.
Do Welcome to New York on guitar?
Yeah. And then
I would have cried.
Oh my God.
Welcome to New York, I would have cried so hard. It's just like it's so nostalgia. Like I am so triggered by nostalgia. Like if something comes around and it's
I was
like
bopping.
I have a memory. Like it's sobbing tears. Like,
yeah,
it's too much for me to handle.
Okay,
fabulous.
Let's do one more.
Us.
Okay,
yeah,
here we
more.
Go. An album you didn't appreciate in its time, but now do because of a situation or growing older.
Oh.
I know mine. Mine is Midnights for sure.
Midnights for you for sure. God, no, I like kind of love them all.
Yeah, I feel like you always liked them from day one. Like,
I don't know
why I really didn't like Midnights. I just didn't get Midnights at all.
I will say I'm waiting for Red. Like, I still... it's
to give Red a more
no,
chance.
I have, bitch. I have. And I'm telling you, I love the Vault tracks. Like,
yeah,
the Vault
yeah.
tracks are so good. All of them. I like them all. But for
like,
some
treacherous,
reason...
Treacherous. So good. Sad,
falls
beautiful,
into
tragic.
That, like, whine... Not whiny, but, like...
Yeah.
I like it.
Through headlights shine through the sleepless nights, and I will get you alone. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, there are good parts. I
Your
just
name
not,
has
they're never stuck
through
in my head.
My mind, and I just think you should know. Oh, I love it.
I'll put it more in the rotation. I think I just, yeah, something about it. When Red came out, I was in college and I was busy, like, listening to, you know,
yeah,
the
like
Notorious
Queen.
B.I.G. Rat-a-tat remix, yeah. You know, fucking Kid Cudi. Like,
yeah, right.
It was all a dream.
Okay.
I used to read, like, that's what we were listening to.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, and Kesha. Like, Kesha
yeah.
took over everything. I also was listening a lot to Fix You by Coldplay. For some reason. And yeah, so I really was not on my Taylor Swift grind when the Red album came out. And so I think that I missed like the moment. I also think I was a little too old.
Hmm.
Like it's a little, I mean, that's untrue because Taylor and I are the same age. So I can never be like, I'm a little too old. But I was moved on past like
Like that album, I could maybe tack on to the end of Fearless and be like, all right, whatever. You know, like I'm not, like, that's kind of how I feel about it. I Knew You Were Trouble was a hot song.
Yeah.
That was, I really went nuts for that. That was a great song.
I love that song.
It still is, but.
Holy Ground.
22, you know, the hits, the
State of Grace. So good.
Like those songs, I'll get in a real bind if someone's ever like, put the lyrics.
Sing Holy Ground.
Yeah, Sing Holy Ground. Sing,
I was
sing
standing
something
there
from,
in a brand new dress. Lord, yeah. It cut me off. Got an that's wrong.
I wouldn't be able to. It'd be like,
days out of New York Times back when you fit in my poems like the perfect rap.
Don't even know it.
Well, I literally posted a TikTok when Midnights came out saying like that it sucks.
No, I remember it. Yeah. I'll never let you forget it.
And I said like the first four songs sucked.
But you were,
which was crazy.
It was crazy, but you were not in the right space.
No, I
you
was
had just
fully,
come back from another concert.
Yeah,
like,
I just came back from a Noah Kahan concert.
You're
I was fully,
I
for some reason, expecting like a Third Sister, like a Folklore Evermore, another of that vibe. And I don't know why I was not, why I like didn't have my pop shoes on.
But you also,
I also
loved,
wasn't in really a pop phase in that
you
time.
You weren't, and you loved Folklore and Evermore so much that you were hoping for more of the same, and it was not the same.
It was not, and
Noah Kahan is kind of more of the same.
No, like, totally.
So you were like already
in that vibe for sure,
like, in that mindset for sure.
When the 3 a.m. songs came out, I was like, oh shit, okay, I like these ones more, like Great War.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, like I like these. Uh-huh. And then it was like kind of when me and my ex-boyfriend were like about to break up, like in that stages of like, I know we're going to break up, but like, I don't know when.
Yep.
That's when Midnight's fucking hit. I was like, where have I been this whole time? Luckily, like it wasn't that far apart of timing, but like,
it was
a crazy realization where I was like, I can't believe that Midnight's is up there in my top 5 for sure, maybe even top 3.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it really is a I can't say underrated because I do feel like it did really well and everyone loved it, but I
it kind
of
is
like,
underrated.
It's still somehow underrated
in the grand
like,
scheme of like Taylor Swift fans.
Yes,
I would say like
yes.
It obviously it won enough. A bunch of Grammys, whatever, but like and it deserved every single award that it won.
Yeah, it did.
And yeah, I think maybe because it didn't get like its own tour.
Yeah.
It's spam. Maybe that's why, but like it kind of got lost in the sauce for like a second. And then I think people were kind of in the same boat as me for a little bit being like, no, okay, no, now it's really growing on me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But
all right.
Love it.
Well, you got to get to your hot date.
I do have to get to my hot date.
I'm literally
oh my God.
Dying.
Wait till I tell you after.
Oh
gonna,
my God,
really
I'm
going to
throw
gonna,
up.
Yeah, already wish me luck. I know what I'm wearing, so that's good at least. I just need to fix my hair and these fucking bangs. Pray for me.
Don't
my bangs before
don't
Friday.
Don't cut your bangs.
Don't cut them before Friday. My hairdresser is going to scream at me. But regardless, thank you to everyone, as always, for leaving voicemails, writing in messages, all the above. Keeps our wheels turning, keeps everybody thinking and moving. So we love that so much. Thank you so much. Besides that,
keep
your eyes peeled for Coachella
this weekend.
Send us messages if you see things.
Potential cool Pink Whitney stuff going along. Yep. We got some messages of people being like, I'm super excited for whatever's coming.
Hell yeah, love that. Get your Pink Whitney this weekend.
Yeah, get your Pink Whitney and
do
keep
the
vibes high.
Vibes high, feel good. Make sure you give a Fearless Taylor's Version a little listen for the anniversary. And we will see you guys next week.
Love you guys.